This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, Matthew Perry passed away. You remember him from Friends. Apparently, very well liked. He was only 54 years old. I have not heard the detail. But that was the theme song from that great show, Friends. You remember Friends? I think we all do. A little tribute to Matthew Perry. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you so much for being with us. We have a lot going on this morning. Boy, oh boy. Never run out of news these days. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. He's got a briefing report. It urges our government to cut back on food programs that are sent out to these less developed countries by our Department of Agriculture. So we're going to talk to Chris, find out why he is saying that. So stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And the Pentagon has announced a new nuclear bomb. Listen to this. 24 times more powerful than the one we dropped on Hiroshima during World War II. Now that's going to scare a lot of people. We're going to discuss it. And whether or not it would deter the world from a major conflict. So stay tuned for that as well. And Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, new Speaker of the House. He says he's full board ahead on the Joe Biden impeachment probe. We're going to talk a little bit about Mike Johnson in relation to this and a few other things, so stay tuned. And on our Ultimate Top 10, for those of you that joined us Friday, we gave you the top 10 countries with the highest suicide rate. We are going to give you the top 10 with the lowest suicide rate at the end of our show today. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, I am telling you. The one I have found is Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, not open Mondays. So wait till tomorrow to call for your appointment. And please do call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. Also, Arborlife Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, and I mean, they've got equipment like I have never seen. They can remove any kind of a tree. They can also help establish trees on your property, commercial or private. Maybe you need stump grinding. They're the best. Call Arborlife for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, tell me a little bit. I was not a big, Ed, you probably know more about it. I'm sure you know more about Matthew Perry than I do, but I've noticed first of all, his death at 54, that's very young. Yeah. I'm sure it was a shock.
I honestly never watched one episode of Friends.
It wasn't mine either.
But it was a major story yesterday, and I jumped on it. And you know,
he's
54 years old. He was found unresponsive in a hot tub. They don't know whether a heart attack caused him to drown. He had an addiction problem, but he was getting over it. You know, there's always relapses. You don't know. You don't want to say that, but you got to wait for things to pan out.
All I know is what I'm hearing about him, and he was beloved.
Oh, yeah.
Beloved man.
I don't think anybody had a crossword to say.
No unkind words. You know, and he said he wanted to be known more for his work to help people with drug addiction.
Yes.
Than his work as an actor. So that says a lot about him right there.
It's sad that somebody that like him that wants to help people didn't have that one friend that could help him. You know, that he had to turn to addiction and didn't have somebody that could help him. It always happens. They don't have that one friend that can that they can trust and just pull them aside and say, listen, I'm going to lock you in the closet and I'm not going to let you out until we get through this thing together.
You know, Alcoholics Anonymous has that kind of a thing, and they've been doing it for many years.
Sponsors,
where you've got a sponsor.
Yeah, right.
You've got a friend you can call when you're feeling weak.
But the thing is, with high-profile people like that, they're not really friends. You know, I hate to use that, but
they're fair weather friends.
For a reason, maybe they want something for their, you know.
Fair weather friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, a little tribute to Matthew Perry. Now, the Department of Defense has announced it is pursuing a nuclear bomb that will be 24 times more deadly, more powerful than one we dropped on Japan during World War II. We dropped two of them on Japan. The one on Hiroshima is the one they're talking about. The Pentagon wants approval and funding to pursue this bomb, which will be designated the B-6113. Here's what they say. This is Assistant Secretary of Defense for Space Policy. His name is John Plum. He says, the announcement is reflective of a changing security environment and growing threats from potential adversaries. The United States has a responsibility to continue to assess and field the capabilities that we need to credibly deter and, if necessary, respond to strategic attacks and assure our allies. Now, here's what I think, Ed. I think because we are in a very weak position right now, they decided to release this information. That's what I think. Because all of a sudden...
Whether it's true or not?
Well, you know...
I mean, they
it says they're developing it.
I can
be developing a car that flies.
Yeah, I've got the winning lotto numbers,
I'm in the process of developing a car that flies, Ed. So you're right. It might be that we're nowhere close to getting this thing. But do you think we might be rattling our chains a little bit?
Well,
because we're being perceived with Biden. Let's be honest. We're being perceived as weak.
We have to do something because what we're doing now is not working. And I've watched all these things over the weekend as to where we've got some former generals and admirals that are coming forward and say, why aren't the oil fields in Iran burning right now? That's what we should be doing. Burning is, well, you know what? I thought about this. If the U.S. decided to do that right now and burn the oil fields and hit those with strikes, what do you think that does to the gas prices right now?
Shoots them right up.
And Biden doesn't want to get into that $5 a gallon business. And you know the You know the other thing I checked on? Do you realize when we used up all our strategic reserves, when he let them out to drop it 2 cents a gallon, do you know we have not replenished those?
No.
And he started to, but then oil went up to $100, almost $100 a barrel, and he stopped. So if we ever get in a confrontation... We have no reserves right now.
No, we're in a very vulnerable place.
And you know, he says, well, we can't just start up the pump again. It takes time.
So you're making my case here, I think. And that is that we're rattling our chains to let everybody know how strong we really should be.
I'm going to the gym. I'm going to start working out.
Yeah.
All right? Don't mess with me. I'm going to be dynamite.
Yeah. You wait and see. I'm going to be dynamite. So anyway, the fact sheet included with this release... Again, it's called the B-6113. It says it has a maximum yield of 360 kilotons. I don't know what that means, but it sounds pretty scary.
I mean, does it mean it's 24 times as wide effect? I mean, how big of a bomb do you need to cry out loud?
Well, it says the load is 24 times larger than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima during World War II. That was a 15-kiloton bomb, and we have seen film of that. If you've seen, I'm sure you have many times.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can figure that that was a 15 kiloton bomb, and this one is a 360 kiloton bomb. It means that instead of the mushroom cloud that you see coming out of the film on Hiroshima, you probably won't be able to get the full mushroom cloud into the camera lens.
Watch Putin come out and say, "We already have that bomb.
We have got that particular.
We have many bombs.
We have lots of bombs." Well, anyway, this is kind of a scary thing, but maybe it's a good thing to bring up because it might make people, you know, step some of these countries. Now, look, Iran is slapping us around right now in the Mideast. China is sort of thumbing its nose at us in the China Sea. We've always got North Korea rattling their sabers. Who else? So we got Russia with the Ukraine. We got all this stuff going on right now.
Didn't Biden?
Now we got Syria also getting involved in making threats.
Didn't Biden run on his campaign? Wasn't it all about peace, bringing peace back to the earth?
That's what I thought. I don't know. Anyway, let's do this. Let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute is going to be with us, and we're going to talk to him about his report with Cato that urges our government to cut back these food programs that we send out to less developed countries.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much. By the way, do we call this Halloween Eve? I guess we call it Halloween Eve. Tomorrow's Halloween, right? But you know what Halloween stands for? All Hallows Eve. And you know what that means? It actually means it's the night or the day before All Saints Day. That's why we have Halloween, All Hallows Eve. And it was a ritual that before All Saints Day, everybody would kind of go wild and crazy and, you know, with the spooks and everything else. And then they celebrate All Saints Day, which is November the 1st. Just a little bit of history on Christianity.
Just go with whatever house gave out the Kit Kat bars.
We are delighted to have our friend Chris Edwards from the great Cato Institute. He is the Kiltz Family Chair in physical studies at Cato, and he's also, by the way, the editor of downsizinggovernment.org, which I highly recommend. Chris is always looking for ways to save money. He is my kind of guy. Chris, you have now got a report for Cato on cutting back on international food aid, which everybody would say, you know, generally, well, you know, this is one of the good things that our country does. Our Department of Agriculture ships all this food to these to these less developed countries. What is wrong with that, Chris?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me.
Of course. My pleasure, always.
We give the federal taxpayers fund over $2 billion a year in these programs that take U.S. food like wheat and soybeans and the like and ship it to poor countries like Ethiopia. Now, you may say, as you just did, that, hey, this seems like a good humanitarian thing to do. Americans are generous people. But like a lot of federal programs, when you look into the details, something that superficially seems like a good idea has a whole bunch of practical difficulties. So I'll give you two basic problems with this sort of program, you know, shipping U.S. Food products and giving it free to poor countries with hunger problems. One is you undermine farmers in that foreign country. So if we're dumping all this free wheat and soybeans and the rest on Ethiopia, you're undermining Ethiopian farmers, and so you're undermining Ethiopia's ability to feed itself in the long term. You know, so the
extent you're actually competing.
The Ethiopian farmers are going to be thinking, hey, why should I even bother planting next season if all this free American food is going to flood into the zone? So that's one problem. And the other basic problem is, that I didn't realize before I started reading about it, there's a huge problem with giving humanitarian aid to countries in conflict zones like Ethiopia, Yemen, and now Gaza. Humanitarian aid is often commandeered by, you know, the various warring factions and used by corrupt governments to reward their friends and to hurt their enemies. And the academic research has showed that giving food aid to conflict zone areas actually extends conflicts and exacerbates and fuels conflicts. So there's these basic reasons why giving food aid does not actually make a lot of sense.
You know, you're making a very good point. I wouldn't have thought about that. But now that I do think about it, when you say that, that makes sense. And if you're competing, I use the word competing, if we're dropping food off, say, to Ethiopia, and like you say, we're actually competing against the farmers there trying to make a living.
That's exactly right.
And it will discourage them from making their country better by being on their own and being self-reliant.
Absolutely. It's the same problem, basically. If you hook domestically, if we hook businesses on welfare subsidies from Washington or low-income people on welfare subsidies from Washington, it undermines their incentives to ultimately get off the dole. So, you know, making people dependent on government, it's the same problem everywhere with all these programs. And that's, you know, but there are situations, of course, where there's famines in certain parts of the world, often in Africa, and it is, you know, it would be a good humanitarian policy to go in and help temporarily. But what usually makes more sense, almost always makes more sense in those cases, is to buy the food regionally and locally in Africa. That way you're supporting African farmers and you can deliver the food aid quickly. Instead of, if you have to ship food from America, it often takes 4 or 6 months and it doesn't really make much sense. The only reason why we have these foreign food aid programs is because of the incessant lobbying of the farm lobbies in America. Foreign aid experts, like at the U.S. Agency for International Development, don't really like these U.S. food aid programs. They want the flexibility to respond quickly to emergencies as they need to. They don't want to have to be forced, you know, to use the inefficient U.S. food aid.
Indeed. We're talking with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, a briefing paper on cutting back on our international food aid. Chris, you mentioned, I think, in particular, three food aid programs, Food for Peace, Food for Progress, and one called McGovern Dole. So I guess these programs have been around for a while. You say they cost more than $2 billion.
Over $2 billion a year.
Yeah. So you're kind of picking on these in particular?
Well, so these are ones that are run by Department of Agriculture, and again, they're only run by the Department of Agriculture because of the historic, farm lobby wants the government to buy up their extra wheat and soybeans and the rest to artificially boost prices. But this is an example. This is only three programs. There's huge overlap, as you know, Paul, in the federal government. There's over 20 federal agencies that are involved in foreign aid. So in addition to the U.S. Agency for International Development AID, as it's called. There's 19 other agencies, including the Department of Agriculture, that are involved in foreign aid.
God.
It's crazy. So part of my proposal here, let's get rid of this overlap. Okay, let's, if we want to do some, you know, aid programs for desperate countries abroad, okay, well maybe, but let's run it out of the USAID. I have all these other agencies, getting them all involved, it creates all this bureaucratic overlap.
Absolutely. Now, the farmers that are growing this food, I guess they want this this deal to continue, because possibly, are they getting paid a premium price for the food that we're going to ship?
What happens is it just, the federal government comes in and they put out these contracts to buy U.S. wheat and soybean and vegetable oil, and it just is a very small boost to their prices. But you know, the farmers will take all the aid they can get from Washington. So I don't think these programs are very important to farmers, but you know, they fight for, the lobbies fight for every little bit they can get from Washington. Another important thing to keep in mind here is we know from decades of foreign aid experience that ultimately, low-income, poor countries, they can get wealthy, they can develop if they make domestic policy reforms, you know, a stable currency, the rule of law, open markets, you know, remove barriers to entrepreneurship. Poor countries can get rich, and we've seen this in particular all over Asia. Countries like Taiwan and South Korea used to be desperately poor, and now they're wealthy. Why? Not because of foreign aid, but because they made sensible domestic policy reforms.
Yeah, it's the old story, too. Teach someone to fish, don't hand them the fish. If we wanted to possibly be involved in some of these less developed countries, possibly we could, and I'm sure we did it in the past, send some people over to help them help themselves, rather than shipping all this food like we are doing. And like you say, you don't even know if it gets to the people it's intended to serve.
That's exactly right. I mean, the statistic on this is pretty dramatic. Cato puts out a Freedom of the World Index every year where we rank over 150 countries on how free their economy is. If you look at the freest group of economies, like including the United States, hunger only affects about 3% of the population. If you look at the least free countries, the hunger is over 20%.
Indeed.
So, you know, this is the difference. If Africa wants to be able to feed itself, to ward off famine, to solve its hunger problems, it's got to free, African countries, they have to free up their economies and, you know, create stable currency, stable rule of law. So that's the ultimate solution here.
Yeah. Now, is anybody listening? Do you think that somebody, in the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, can pick up on this kind of a thing? Are they going to, would they consider cutting back on this, or is this a lost cause, in your opinion?
I think so. As I said, foreign aid experts actually agree with what I'm saying. They don't want the USDA meddling in foreign aid at all. And, you know, this will become a political issue coming up, because in coming months, Congress is going to consider a big farm bill. And there's always fights in farm bills over the food stamp program and farm subsidies. And this is $2 billion of subsidies we don't need here. So I would say members of Congress, conservative members of Congress who view themselves as wanting to do something about the debt and deficit, this is $2 billion of wasteful spending that we could get rid of very quickly and easily. It would be good for our economy and good for foreign countries to become less reliant on our food aid.
Yeah, I think you're making an outstanding point, and I'm hoping that people will be listening to this. And again, you talk about three food programs in particular, Food for Peace, which has been around since the mid-50s, and then the one called Food for Progress, and that's been around since the mid-80s, and then the one called McGovern Dole, which has been around for about 20-plus years. And I wonder just, I mean, do we keep tabs on what percentage of how much of this actually gets to the intended people? Like you say, once the government gets its mitts on it, they probably use it for political purposes, I would suspect.
Yeah, well, so Paul, you actually touched on something very interesting there, which is the excessive inefficiency when the government's involved in anything. Look, I'm all in favor of rich folks like Bill Gates getting involved in foreign aid projects because they've got flexibility, they can reduce costs, they can try to do things efficiently. The federal government, like with these $2 billion in food aid programs, they have all these regulations that raise the cost. So the all this food has to be shipped on certain types of U.S.-based ship that artificially raises the cost. And then some of these programs use a ridiculous process called monetization. So we take U.S. wheat and soybean and the like, we ship it abroad, we resell it in a foreign region like Africa, then we raise some money and we sell these products at a loss to raise some money that then we use for foreign aid programs rather than just giving the money for the foreign aid program directly. So there's these inefficiencies and regulations that always makes federal government programs much, much less efficient at helping people than private sector charitable projects.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Chris. Thank God for the Cato Institute and for people like you. And it's terrific that you've come out with this report. I hope people will take a look at it. I guess they can go to the Cato website. Go ahead.
We need to cut all kinds of departments and agencies and programs and federal government, Paul, as you know. And I keep throwing out new ideas that, you know, reformers in Congress, they want to cut. You know, we know what to cut. That I think some of these programs, it's really obvious we need to cut them. And so that's what we need to focus on in coming months in Congress.
Absolutely, Chris. Well, you keep up the good work. It's always a pleasure to be talking with you. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, sir. Chris Edwards, doing the job he needs to do at the Cato Institute. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. You know, he's kind of an evangelical. He says he's full board ahead, by the way, on the Joe Biden impeachment probe. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday. It's Freedom Works, and we're going to talk a little politics here. I see Mike Pence. This was a shock. On Saturday, Mike Pence basically ended his campaign for president. They call it suspend. You know why they call it suspend? They call it suspend so they can keep the money.
Yes.
Okay.
They don't have to give the
money back. They don't want to give it back. So Pence, on Saturday, announced that he is suspending his program to become president. He said, I came here to say, it's become clear to me this is not my time. Now, he was at the Jewish Coalition Convention, the Republican Jewish Coalition Convention. He says, after much prayer and deliberation, I've decided to suspend my campaign effective today, which was Saturday. He did not endorse anybody. I don't think he's going to endorse Donald Trump, but you never know. If Trump becomes the candidate, I suspect he will get on board at that point. Having said that, we've got both of the Sorace brothers with us. A real delight.
And the only thing he got, by the way, is he got his parting gift, which consists of a T-shirt that says "I ran for president."
Yes.
And I believe in a mug and a pen.
You got a toothbrush too, you know.
No,
don't you?
Most of those guys have dentures. He's put them in a glass. Right.
Well,
anyway.
Maybe he doesn't have a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of that, we've got both Angelo and Andrew. Andrew, the master barber. Angelo is our eye in the northern sky. Let me start with you, Angelo. What do you think about Mike Pence telling us he's dropping out?
Well, the lower the field, you know, they're lowering the field now. I mean, one by one, they're dropping like flies.
Yes, they are.
I don't think he really had a chance, you know. His numbers weren't there, you know.
He wasn't able to kind of get out of the morass at all, you know. He was just sort of floating around in the quicksand there. Originally, I thought, well, you know, he was vice president. He's got a very conservative background. Some would say the fact that he stood up to Donald Trump during the whole process of the vote counting, et cetera. Andrew, what do you think? Are you shedding tears for Mike Pence this morning?
I'm glad he's gone. Next should be Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme.
Well,
he's come up with the best names for these people.
He's going to hang out for
Krispy
the buffet.
Kreme.
He's hanging out for the buffet on CNN.
By the way, I saw Krispy Kreme. He's been making his rounds these days. Still going after Donald Trump, of course. We're talking about Chris Christie, if nobody knows what we're talking about here, who thinks he has a chance, former governor of New Jersey. So, you know, his whole campaign is about bashing Donald Trump. You're not gonna become president if all you're gonna do is bash somebody else.
Well, you know, Paul, I heard some rumors this weekend. I heard some rumors that the Republican Party is very, very upset in Florida with Ron DeSantis.
Oh, really?
Because, yep. Matter of fact, I heard they're going to start a smear campaign against them.
A sneer or a smear campaign?
Yes.
Really?
Because, they say that the Republicans are upset. They believe he's neglecting Florida to go after the presidency. So I'm anxious to see if this comes true because it came from a very, very good source.
Okay. All right.
Why would the Republican Party do that? Why would they actually do that? You know,
why?
The trouble with
because
the Republicans,
Angela,
they fight amongst themselves. You saw what happened with the speakership, right?
I agree.
What Matt Gaetz did with those other, with the renegade Republicans. They're just, you know, the trouble with them is they don't stick together.
Personally,
the
they
Democrats
need...
stick together. The Democrats stick together.
Well, the Democrats are more like sheep. The Democrats are more like sheep. You can herd them. Well, and the Republicans are more like cats. And it's impossible to herd cats.
You know,
the Republicans just don't get it. They just don't get it.
I saw over the weekend that Governor DeSantis did something that the rest of the nation kind of picked up on, is the fact that these protests that are going on, these pro-Palestine rallies and stuff that they're being done on certain campuses and stuff, and some of these students, they're here on a visa, and DeSantis is going to revoke their visa.
Right.
Yeah, DeSantis
doing a great job.
Excuse my language. Throw them out. Send them back to where they came from.
He's doing something. Here. Andrew just said he's neglecting Florida. I don't think he's neglecting Florida.
I don't either. I'm just telling you what the rumor is. I think he's doing a great job.
Well,
Ron DeSantis was on The Great One the other night.
Mark Levin. Okay. Mark Levin does a show.
Yes.
Let's let the listeners know here that Mark Levin does a TV show on Fox News, and they call him The Great One. Some people call him The Great One. He's a Jewish commentator, by the way, obviously very pro-Israeli, and he had Ron DeSantis on. Go ahead, Angelo, and speak about that.
He spoke about what was happening in the country with all these protests and everything. I mean, this guy came across, Ron came across as so presidential, it's unreal. Even my wife noticed this everything.
I was going to bring that up today. I was going to say, you know, he earned a lot of points with me when he was on Levin. because that's the side of him I wanted to see, to where he was. In other words, he wasn't mirroring some of the other things that were being done. He's what he just did. Step forward, said, "Listen, we got a problem here, and I'm going to take care of it."
You know, he does seem, and I'm going to ask you this, Andrew, he does seem, DeSantis does seem like a no-nonsense, I'm going to get something done. I see an issue, and I'm going after it. He seems like that kind of a guy. I think a lot of people have a respect for that.
Well, you know, Ron cannot get out of this right now. He's got to stay right where he is, because something does happen to Trump.
Yes.
He's got to be the one.
Yeah.
Let's face the facts. And,
well, I'll be honest with you. I would the dream team, and if Trump wasn't so self-centered, he would pick it, the dream team would be Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. What a dream team this would be for this country.
Well,
right
it's
now.
Only going to remain in your dreams,
Ron.
By the way, that will never be.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis could do more for Florida and the country as a governor of Florida than he would be able to do as a vice president.
That's right.
Yeah, but if Trump, if things happen where Trump cannot get the nomination, it's got to be Ron DeSantis. Well, can't be anyone else. Krispy Kreme, he's so vengeful because he didn't become president or he never got nominated. He's a guy that hates people that succeed. And what Chris Christie is nothing but a loser in my eyes.
So, getting back to the fact that we've lost one more... In fact, we've lost about three in the past couple of weeks, three Republican...
Lee Elder dropped out.
Lee Elder dropped out. We talked about that on our earlier show, yes. The other guy, I can't think of his name now. So many of them, you know, all of a sudden disappear. But anyway, we are thinning the field. I'll tell you, the three that remain that I think have any chance, in my humble opinion, of course, Donald Trump, he's leading the pack. I think Ron DeSantis is second, and I think Nikki Haley has a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nikki Haley has a shot. I think Ramaswamy is going to talk himself out. That's the Indian guy who's trying to hang on, but I think he's hanging on by his fingernails.
Tim Scott's a potential vice president.
I was talking with Ron Sr. yesterday. I said, you know, Ron, I said, people are still thinking that for some odd reason, your son and Trump are going to get together on this again. And he says, nah, he says, there's no. He goes, Andrew, he says, could you work for Trump? And I says, honestly, Ron, I learned years ago I can't work for anybody. I'm the type of person that, you know, I'm not going to listen to nobody. And the minute a boss tells me to do something, I was gone. You know, and I said,
you're a contrarian.
I said, I believe your son is the same way. And he says, you're right. He says he would never play the second fiddle.
Well, I think in particular, now that Trump has gone after him, if there was any chance of those two teaming up, it's long gone.
Yeah, but politics, you know, anything can change in politics. You know, you serve for the good of the country, not for, you know, I think Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump set aside their differences and think about good old USA. And not care about their egos or anything else. America comes first, right? Would they make America great again? Right?
Imagine, yeah.
Well, that's the thing right there. Put aside your differences and care about the country.
Well, that's something that it's easy to talk about, but we all have our own opinion as to what the good of the country is. That's where where things start to fall apart a little bit. That's just the nature of politics.
Right. You know, Ron did put the uniform on of this country. He's already served this country more than a lot of people have.
That's right. Oh, absolutely.
Only 0.1% of the population in America put the uniform on of this country. And President Trump served this country by being president, and he never took a dime for being president. He never took the pay. So to me, you get these two guys, that solidifies America.
But they're going their separate. They'll be going their separate ways. You're not going to see a tag team of those two. I think you mentioned Scott from...
South Carolina.
From South Carolina. I can see him as a vice president, possibly for either Trump or DeSantis.
Yeah, either one.
You got to go either him or you got to pull Kristi Noemann. Because I think no matter who's running, she's going to get all the support.
Okay, Kristi Noemann. She is the you got the North Dakota is it or South? No, South Dakota.
South Dakota
governor. Right, Kristi Noemann. There's always that possibility as well. Well, my friends, I appreciate very much your joining us this morning. Lots going on. We didn't get a chance to talk very much about. We didn't talk at all about the. The Israeli war, but that is, it seems to be entering a second phase.
Well, you know, Paul, go ahead. Everybody's talking about it, so we all know what's going on.
We do.
We got to bring up the things that they're not talking
That's
about.
That's true, and I agree with you.
I've seen a lot of Americans jumping on their phones and taking video of some of these people that are doing the protests in New York City and stuff. And a couple of bimbets that were going to school at about they're about 20 years old, whatever university it was one of the New York universities. And this guy walked up on a girl, and she's got crumpled up posters in her hands of people that are missing in Israel. And the guy's like, "What do you have there?" And they're looking through, and she just has a smile on her face. And he said, "Why did you take those down?" She goes, "Because they're ugly to look at on the polls."
He's really out of it, isn't he?
Yeah. Mommy and daddy.
These are
good
people
money for
that,
you to
are,
go to school.
That are
yes.
missing, and the families yeah. are praying that they will survive
and this is
as
what,
hostages.
This is what mommy and daddy are getting for sending her to
horrible.
School.
Yeah.
You know what?
Go ahead.
You know what, guys? When I was in Vietnam, you had the same college people protesting us in Vietnam. Well, our guys were getting killed.
Yes.
And then when I came home, I was called a baby killer, murderer, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
It never fails that the American students are this depraved.
Yeah, well, now it's 20-fold because we've got social media.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, things don't change. The only thing that changes are the players, right? The more things change, the more they stay the same. The only thing that changes are the players.
But the vitriol on some of these campuses. The vitriol on some of these campuses.
Right.
And then, did you hear about that story? If I've got it here, some Russian airport.
Oh, yeah.
Where people were literally running around the airport looking for Jewish people to attack.
Right.
I think they tried to surround a plane, if I'm not mistaken. Here it is.
They tried not to let the Jewish people off.
I mean,
right?
This is appalling.
Yeah, they tried to get the people off the plane.
Yeah, this is appalling. An angry mob broke into the airport. It's, I don't know, the name of the town is Makakala, something or other. An angry mob broke into the airport searching for Israeli citizens on a flight from Tel Aviv. I mean, this is really getting scary. I mean, just because they're Jewish, looking to go after them. So this
Adolf Hitler is dancing in his grave
he
right
might
now,
be.
Isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. I agree. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. Always a pleasure to talk with both of you.
All right, Paul. You have a good day, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks, bye-bye. Andrew. Thanks, Angelo.
You're quite welcome. Talk to you next week.
Okay. All right. We're going to take our break. I promise you we are going to get around to speaking about Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House. Stay tuned for that.
Heading up to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal. You get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. It's Monday. It's the day before Halloween. Have you got your candy ready for the kids? Are you going to leave your light on so they know that they should come to your house and take candy from you? Are you going to give them all the good candies, or are you going to do this cheap candy kind of thing? Well, anyway, it's Halloween tomorrow, and we're getting ready for that. I also want to remind you that we come to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Freedom Works here on the Tantalk Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We thank you for listening to us. We've always got something to talk about. If you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on podcast. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. At the top, click on the podcast button. Ed's got all our shows. Most recent show at the top, you'll know who the guest is, you'll see what the topic is with the guest, and you'll also see what our top 10 is. So you can kind of, you know, go through the show real quickly and stop at the parts you like. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So the Democrats' knives are out when it comes to the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. The Biden campaign took aim at him this past week over his views on same-sex relations, while ignoring, of course, what Biden used to say on that same subject a few years. You know, Biden has totally changed his approach to gay marriage and that whole area. But here's what they're saying now. This is the Biden administration. Mike Johnson called for criminalizing gay sex. They put that out on X, which used to be, I guess, Twitter. They went on to say, Johnson called same-sex relations, quote, inherently unnatural, unquote, and said it could destroy the entire democratic system. Now, the Post included a link to a CNN article about the subject, which was titled, New Speaker of the House Mike Johnson once wrote in support of the criminalization of gay sex. Now, though the report claimed that Johnson has a history of anti-gay language, the truth is Joe Biden also has a history.
Yeah.
If you remember, he was against it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, totally against.
What,
he's totally
it,
gone 180 on this.
Was it like the 80s when he came out and said
a couple
that?
Of times. In 73, this guy's been around, by the way. Can you imagine him? He's been in politics since 73.
Mm-hmm.
In 73, he responded to a question about homosexuality and homosexuals in the U.S. Civil Service, and he suggested that they were security risks. Later on, in 93, 20 years later, he voted in favor of an amendment to codify the Department of Health and Human Services prohibition of the permanent immigration of people with HIV AIDS. So, you know, he's been on both sides of this thing. That same year, he also voted for the National Defense Authorization Act, which included the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that barred gay Americans from serving in the military. So he better not go too hard against Mike Johnson, because they can bring up his past.
I have the view that I don't care about your sexual preferences and how you do things. It's not my business, but just don't ask me to celebrate what you do and what you like.
Right.
And don't call me some sort of a phobic if I don't participate.
Right.
period.
Yeah, kind of keep it to yourself.
We don't need
to know all the details.
I like to do things, and I don't drag anybody else into it.
No.
And demand they do it with me.
Yeah. And I've heard about some of the things you like to do, Ed, but we're not going to.
It's a family show.
No, I'm just kidding. Now, Speaker Johnson has said that he signals a promising future for the impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden. He noted yesterday what he called the House Republicans' constitutional responsibility to follow the truth where it leads. So I guess away they go on that. All right, Ed, I guess we're getting late here. I got to get into the top 10. Is there any sports news we need to know about before we get into it?
Not really. The Bucks had played on Thursday, so yeah. We didn't have them on the weekend.
No.
The World Series is going on.
Yeah.
Good for them.
I think it's one game apiece right now in the World Series. So, okay.
That's about it.
All right. Time for our top 10. We did the top 10 countries with the highest rate of suicide on Friday. And by the way, the report comes from the World Population Review. So, today, the top 10 countries with the lowest suicide rate. Okay, here we go. Number 10, the Philippines. Now, I'm not surprised to hear the Philippines low on suicide rate. You know why? They're a very religious country. Very, very religious. Number 9, another one, Honduras, is very low. Mm. By the way, the rate of suicide in the Philippines is 2.2 per 1,000 population, per 100,000, I'm sorry, per 100,000 population, 2.1 in Honduras. Number 8, Venezuela, another southern country, 2.1. It's kind of tied with Honduras, I guess. Number 7. Now, this one kind of, the next two kind of interesting. Number 7 is Syria. Mm. Now, of course, they're a Muslim country, aren't they, mostly? Mm-hmm. 2.0. Number 6. Number 6 is Jordan, right nearby. Mm-hmm. All right, another one. Another Muslim country. These two are kind of involved in what's going on in the Israeli conflict right now. Number 5. I'm not sure where this is, Ed. This sounds like sort of island countries. Sao Tome, Saotome. And Principe. Sure. It's all like one country, Sao Tome and Principe, 1.5.
Nope.
Okay, number 4. St. Vincent and the Grenadines. That sounds like a rock band. Ladies and gentlemen, St. Vincent and the Grenadines for your dining and viewing. But anyway.
At Joey's Bar and Grill.
At Joey's Bar and Grill. Number 3. Grenada. Remember, we went to war against Grenada. Remember that?
Well, we had to clean it up.
I guess we did. We cleaned it up real good. They only have 0.7 per 100,000 in the suicide rate. Number 2, Barbados. Have you been to Barbados? It's in the Caribbean.
No.
Well, not too many suicides going on there. All right. All right. And you're not going to get it, so just roll it around. And here's number 1. Antigua and Barbuda. Mm. Antigua and Barbuda. Ah, yes.
That's by Barbados, too. It's a whole chain of islands in the Eastern Caribbean.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? 0.4, and they're the best. Lowest, I should say. Well, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back Wednesday. In the meantime, please remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.